Well, good morning. If you would, go ahead and turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, our lesson today is titled, Peter, a Man Who Failed God. Peter, a Man Who Failed God. Have you ever wanted a do-over? Have you ever wanted a fresh start? I think many of us have. Maybe you made a really bad decision, or maybe you made a series of bad decisions. Have you ever let anybody down that meant a lot to you? And how did you feel about that? Probably not too good, right? Well, what about God? Have you ever let God down? Have you ever failed Him? And how does God feel about us when we let Him down? When we sin, that's what I'm talking about. When we rebel against God. Well, from Peter's life, we can learn how God deals with us when we fail Him, when we sin, when we do wrong. So when you think about Peter, Peter had some really good qualities. I thought I had those individual. Anyway, we'll look at them all. He had some really good qualities when you think about it. When Jesus called Peter, Peter left everything and he followed after Jesus. He left his career, everything behind. I think that says a lot about Peter. But Peter was also a man who was very loyal to Christ when others were not. For example, in John chapter 6, Jesus was teaching and he says, unless you drink my blood and eat my flesh, you have no life in you. And many disciples couldn't handle what he was saying and didn't understand what he was saying. And they began to leave Jesus. And Jesus looked to the 12 and said, will you also go away? And it was Peter who said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of everlasting life or eternal life. It was Peter who made the great confession. If you remember when Jesus came into Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, he said, who do men say that I am? In other words, what's the word out there on the street about me? And they said, well, some say you're John the Baptist or Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said, but who do you say that I am? And it was Peter who said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say unto you, you are Peter. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And it was Peter who was willing to fight for Jesus when they came to arrest him in the garden. Remember that? Peter was the guy that pulled out the sword and started swinging, and he actually cut off the ear of the servant of the high priest whose name was Malchus. And Jesus grabbed that ear and just put it back on, just like it was nothing. Just set it right on. The Passion of Christ, they have a scene where he does that. He just takes that ear and just puts it right back on his head. That's the coolest thing. And you know, Malchus probably from that point on, time to time, probably like, you know, tugging on that ear just because he knew what happened. He knew he lost the ear and it was Jesus who put it back on. Well, Peter not only had some good qualities, he also had some shortcomings. Peter had foot and mouth disease, right? He was always saying things and he was always, you know, spouting off things when he should have been silent. He was always talking when he should have been silent. That was just Peter. And then Peter, he walks on water. If you remember, Jesus called him. He said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and began to walk, but then he saw the winds and the wave, and what happened? He lacked faith, and Peter began to sink in the waters, and it was Jesus who reached over and grabbed him and pulled him back to the top of the water again. And so, but Peter also tried to keep Jesus from going to the cross. You remember that? So Jesus had shared with his disciples, he said, the Son of Man is going to be delivered to the chief priests and the scribes, and they're going to crucify him. And Peter said, oh no, Lord, this ain't going to happen to you. This ain't going to happen. And so Peter is standing in the way of the will of God, and Jesus' response was, get behind me, Satan. Because Jesus knew where that was coming from. That was coming from the devil, trying to get Jesus to not fulfill the will of God. And so, Peter had some good qualities, but he certainly had some shortcomings. And the most notable of all his shortcomings, of course, was his denial. I can't believe I didn't put the animations in these. I thought that I had. Anyway, you get the whole thing at one time. So Peter denies Jesus, right? And Jesus predicts that Peter would deny him. In fact, he said, "Tonight you will all fall away on account of me." And Jesus supported that prediction by quoting from Zechariah 13, verse 7, which says, "I will strike the shepherd of the sheep, and the sheep will be scattered abroad." Well, Peter then refuted the prediction and said, "Lord, though all deny you, I will never deny you." And then Jesus personalized the prediction and said, "Tonight, you, Peter, will disown me three times." And then Peter fulfills the prediction. And so the scripture was read just a few moments ago. Peter denied Jesus three times. So I want you to see, he denies Jesus. All right? There we go. He denies Jesus, and I want you to see that the rooster crowed, just as Jesus said that it would. But look in your text at verse 61. In verse 61, this verse is powerful. It says, "And the Lord turned, and he looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord had said to him, 'Before the rooster crows, you would disown me three times.'" And so when that rooster crowed, Jesus looks over at Peter. Peter looks at Jesus. Their eyes lock. You can imagine how Peter felt for just a moment, because Jesus knew that he had betrayed him. And then verse 62 says, "He went out and he wept bitterly." You see, this was not a slip of the tongue. He denied Jesus three times. Once could be a slip of the tongue. Three times is not a slip of the tongue. He denied Jesus. He failed Jesus. And so Peter is wailing like a little baby, because he let his Lord down, and he knows he let his Lord down. He told his Lord he would never deny him, though all deny him. He never would, and yet he did. And Peter is crushed. And so, before we look at Peter too harshly, we need to look at our own scenes of denial, because we have our own scenes of denial in our own lives, right? So none of us can look at Peter with a judging eye. None of us were at the scene in his place, but we've been at various scenes of denial that are our very own. Maybe you denied him at school in front of your friends, and they ask, "Are you a Christian?" And you said, no, I'm not a Christian." That's denying Jesus. Or maybe it was on a date when you went beyond the bounds of moral purity. Maybe it's at work where you participated in gossip and filthy talk. Maybe you failed to witness for Jesus. Fearing to appear as a spiritual freak, you kept your mouth shut when it would have been best that you speak on behalf of Jesus, to represent him, to tell people about Christ, how that he died on the cross and paid the debt of our sin. Well, let's go back and let's see how Jesus responded to Peter's denial. So hold your finger here. Look, turn to Mark chapter 16. In Mark 16, verse 7. Remember when very early on Sunday morning, the women came to the tomb, and they were going to anoint the body of Jesus, but resurrection had occurred, and this is what Jesus told the ladies. Verse 7, "But go and tell his disciples and Peter that he's going before you into Galilee, and there you will see him as he said to you." Notice that. Isn't that kind of odd? Go tell his disciples and Peter. Well, I thought Peter was a disciple. He was one of the disciples, right? So why wasn't go tell the disciples enough? Because Peter needed to know. Peter needed to know that the word disciple included him. That just because he failed him, he's now not excluded as a disciple of Jesus. He is a disciple of Jesus, and Jesus still acknowledges Peter as a disciple of Jesus. Peter doesn't feel that way, though. And so Peter needed to know that everything was all right. He needed to know that his Lord had forgiven him, because Jesus didn't give up on Peter. Human nature is to give up on people who fail us, right? You remember the Apostle Paul and John Mark? When John Mark bailed, and then Barnabas wanted to take him on the second missionary journey, and Paul said, he ain't going. He ain't coming with me. That's for sure. I mean, a guy who bailed on me once, I'm not going to take him. He's not going. And so Paul gave up on John Mark. If John Mark's salvation was left up to Paul, he'd have been lost, because Paul didn't have time for a failure. But Barnabas did. Barnabas lovingly nurtured John Mark and helped John Mark, and John Mark became a giant of a disciple for Jesus. But because of Barnabas and not Paul, because human nature is, if you fail me, I'm going to give up on you. That's just the way we humans are. But Jesus didn't give up on Peter. So why is this embarrassing story told? This is embarrassing. Three times Peter denies Jesus. So why is this story here? Well, it's here for us to observe and to look at and learn from, because God is teaching us how He deals with people who fail Him. You see, you need to know that God never stops loving you. When you sin, when you rebel, He doesn't give up on you. He doesn't stop loving you. In Romans chapter 8, verses 35 and following, there's a powerful section of Scripture where Paul talks about nothing can separate us from God. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. That includes your sin. Your sin won't separate you either, as long as you confess it and you repent of it. And so, God never stopped loving Peter. Jesus loves Peter, and Peter needed to know it, and that's why He said, tell the disciples and Peter. Turn to John chapter 21. John chapter 21. This is interesting. So Jesus appears to the disciples post-resurrection. And beginning at verse 15, and so when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And Jesus uses the word agape. It says, and he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you, phileo, not agape, phileo. Verse 16. And then he said to him a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me, agape? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you, phileo. He said, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. Verse 17. And he said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Phileo. He said, Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things and you know that I love you," phileo. And so Jesus is saying, "Do you love me, agape?" Peter says, "Phileo." He says, "Do you love me, agape?" He said, "No, phileo." And then Jesus said, "Phileo, Peter?" He said, Peter said, "Yes, phileo." In other words, God accepts us where we are. He takes us where we are. He doesn't ask us to be in a place we're not. Peter couldn't give him agape. He didn't have it. He didn't feel like that's where he was. He didn't love God in that way. But Peter, he could do phileo. And Jesus was good with phileo. He accepts that. I think it's interesting that Jesus three times asked him if he loved him. And some people say this has nothing to do with his denial. I think it has everything to do with his denial. Because here he has three opportunities to affirm his love for Jesus, having denied him three times. All right? So this gives him an opportunity to have a do-over. And Peter was given a do-over. Jesus reaffirms his love for Peter and the place that he has for Peter, because he says to Peter here, "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep." And so he fully plans on Peter being a part of the great work that he's going to do in the world. And then on the day of Pentecost, what do we see? We see the apostle Peter preaching, and 3,000 souls. It is Peter who preached the first gospel sermon. The door of the kingdom is open for people to embrace it and enter into the kingdom of God. It's Peter. Peter's in that place. Why? Because Jesus didn't give up on Peter. And he doesn't give up on you either. And when we sin, we're told that we're to confess our sin and to repent. In other words, to put it away. It's not to be a continual practice or a part of our life anymore. We're to confess that sin and repent, and we move on. And God is fine with that. And so God doesn't give up on you. Yeah, you can even deny Him. You can deny God. He will forgive you. He will always forgive you and embrace you. You will never sin and be so far out of the will of God that there's no way back. God will always take you back. You see, with Peter, we learn that God gives us a do-over. We learn from Peter that God gives us a fresh start when we fail Him. And we all have at some point in our walk with Him. And maybe we have done it numerous times. But does it matter? Peter denied Jesus three times. And Jesus forgave him and accepted him. And said, you're gonna feed my lambs. And Peter faithfully did that. But also, so when it comes to us, when we sin, we're told to confess it. We're told to repent and move on in our walk with God. But also, it's God gives every person a do-over. The whole human race, because the Bible says that we've all sinned and we've come short of the glory of God. Romans 3 verse 10 says there's none righteous, no, not one. Verse 23, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But God is willing and desires to forgive our sins in Jesus Christ. It's the whole reason that God sent Jesus Christ into the world to die, to pay the debt of our sin, so that we humans could have a do-over. That's why. And so, have you ever responded to the good news of the gospel? God is giving you a do-over. He wants you to be in a relationship with Him. He desires that, so much so that He gave His one and only Son. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So if you've never responded to the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I hope this morning you'll think about doing that. God says you can have a do-over. God says you can have a fresh start. You need one, because Jesus said, "Except a man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." So unless we experience new birth, we will never enter heaven. We must be born again. And so if you've never been born again, please come. If you need to come and confess your sin and repent this morning, we encourage you to do that as well. But whatever your need is, just know that God says you can have a do-over, so come as we sing.